world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, sometimes I just said to my wife before I came down here this morning, it's the show number 2559. That's unbelievable. I just said to my wife before I came down here this morning, I think my life is easier when my alarm went off at 6:30. I got up, shaved my face, took a shower, got dressed, went to school, was there all day at school, did my 8 periods, practice after school, come home and live a life. I think my life is easier then. Right? Now I get up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm not complaining about that. And then boom, all of a sudden I got all this info. We live in an information age and all the stuff that's out there. And then, golly, the conflict with arguing with people. We live in a crazy world, man. We live in a crazy world. And Bible says that God, that Holy Scriptures will guide, God will guide us into all truth. And you know, it amazes me how many people don't want to know the truth. They'd rather believe lies. And I got that book right here, Live Not by Lies. Oh, Live Not by Lies. People would rather, they'd rather be lied to. And it's some type of programming. It's demonic for sure. Yeah, we're going to take communion. I got an unbelievable. Hey, Spencer, while I'm thinking, I have a little bit of housekeeping here. We've got to get a callingtothepeople.org on our homepage so people know how to go stake and do all that stuff. So it needs to be like a pop-up or something to go there. Because, man, I've had a busy week. We're going to do some staking of churches tomorrow. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. I'm going to promise you this. Don't leave. Don't leave. So I, Joe, no offense. I know some people say, well, I'm not going to that communion, blah, 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 whatever. I'm just going to tell you something. Don't leave. If you want to mute, because we're going to give you some truth, and only the truth will set you free. Okay? So let's get to it. Joe got up real early. He's been drained. He looks tired. I told him, you should never tell somebody they look tired. My mom, I think it's my mom told me that. Don't ever tell somebody they look tired because they can't really do anything about it. They look tired. Hey, Joe, you look tired. Sorry, you do. So a little bit of refreshing. For those of you who don't know, Joe Carrico is in California, which means it's 4:03 there, 4:03. So we appreciate you getting up and doing this for us, Joe. Come on in, brother.
Thank you, Coach. No, it is a little bit earlier here, and it's still dark. Yeah. Well, the reading this morning is Romans 6, 15 to 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Wow. God forbid.
I could preach right there, Joe. I could spend about an hour right there. Go ahead.
You could spend a whole 7-day sermon on that one, I think.
Yes, sir, you could, yep.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey.
Man, oh man.
Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
Wow, wow. The wages of sin is death. You can choose that one if you want to. You can choose that one.
But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
Joe, you know, I'm looking at the verse above still. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Folks, obedience unto righteousness, that's a choice. It's a choice. Sin and death, it's a choice. Every day, it's a death. It's not a works gospel. You can't call yourself a Christian and go around and act like all those other fools. Go ahead, Joe.
Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness.
Wow. Hang on, Joe. Servant of right, folks, are you a servant of righteousness? Is the American church, when we look at what's going on across the spectrum, is the church a servant of righteousness? Wow. I'll shut up, Joe.
Producer, if you could. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members to servants to righteousness unto holiness.
Switch teams. He says, switch teams. You've been playing for that devil's team. Come over, get yourself cleaned up, and play on this righteousness and holiness team.
For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness.
Wow.
What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
Then amen. Somebody have to say amen. Is that ever it, huh? Boy, oh boy, for when you were servants of sin, you didn't have to worry about that righteousness stuff. It's just so easy just to go sin and sin and sin, get up the next day and do it and do it and do it. But now that you've become a Christ, become a follower of Christ, and righteousness has been endued upon you, dude, you get up every day and you got to serve righteousness. Oh, man, Joe.
But now being made free from sin and become servants to God,
wow,
ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life.
Wow.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Isn't that something? You have to pay to die. Death is payment. The payment of sin is death. But God gives you eternal life. It's a gift. If we could just conceive all the death. You know what? Folks, how can you not believe in God when you read the deepness of what these guys wrote, the truth of these unchanging, eternal truths? You think these just fell out of there, just evolved from monkeys? Really? Some monkey evolved into writing this? Come on.
Nah.
Come on.
Yeah. No way. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with gratitude in our hearts, gratitude for grace, gratitude for our salvation, gratitude that we have this choice, and gratitude for your helping us every day to choose better and better, to take captive our thoughts, to understand that life and death are in our tongue, to begin to understand the authority of your return to us that was taken with the fall in the garden, and to understand that we are your ambassadors, Lord. Even though we most of the time don't really know exactly the right thing to say or do when an unexpected situation comes, help us to learn to surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit, Lord, in these times. Let the Holy Spirit's words come through our lips in times of stress, or in times when we meet somebody and are an ambassador. Let us become more and more who you want us to become. become more and more of a, someone in being sanctified, walking a righteous path. And let people we encounter see you in us, Lord. And everyone listening to this is encountering waves and waves of disclosures of information that many of us knew were true. And many of us knew a lot of what's coming out, Lord. But in our heart, part of us didn't believe it actually would ever be brought to justice. And now it looks like it's happening. And we are grateful for this. But let this truth that's coming out not stop with what we see now, but let it also go to the very media that has been hiding the truth from us for decades and willfully hiding it. And let that fourth estate be also brought to justice, Lord. It's not what it's not supposed to be the way it has become. Let the truth behind that come out too, Lord. And many of us, well, all of us here, Lord, have health issues and family issues and things that we're trying to fix with our own efforts. Help us to remember to give these to you, to give the illness to you. You purchased it, to give the stress to you, to learn to rest in you. And I repent from being a bit tired, Lord. I guess I need to do that a little better and rest in you. And we're grateful for communion, that we have such a tradition to remember you and what was done for us. That the creator of the universe gave his only begotten son, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we ask you to bless this bread and this drink representing your body and blood that was sacrificed for us so many years ago. And we ask that you help us understand as best we can this transaction. What really, that it's hard to fathom. We really can't fathom it, but help us to understand what you did for us. And we ask you to bless this bread and this drink. We ask you to forgive our sins and transgressions and let us come cleansed into your sight, for this is a sacred act we do now. And we are grateful, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hey, yes, we are organizing a prophetic unction tomorrow. For those of you wondering where we're meeting tomorrow regarding the staking, by the way, real quickly, Spencer, if you could pull up staking, and then put it in the chat. Folks, this is what staking is all about. I'm going to get Randy in here, maybe not today because I didn't give him an opportunity. We need to do more of this, folks. We need to do more of it. And this is up on, get my brain here, a calling to the people. How to do the staking, what it is we're trying to do, what it is you're supposed to read, a calling to the people, all right? It's all right there for you. Now, put that in the chat so people will know. Craig's explained all of it. Fire is fire, what exactly what's going on. And then go down at the bottom. I think it's going to show what you're going to read. Or there it is. Click here to download the prayer that you're going to read when you go stake. And we're going to go stake. We have a local team that's going to go stake tomorrow, Saturday. It is Saturday. But you can do it right where you are. You can do it. Folks, this is not hard. It's not hard. Get somebody to go with you and just go do it. And I said something to my wife yesterday. I said, you know what I need to do, Craig? You've kind of done this to me. I need to start carrying some stones with me everywhere I go. When I get the unction of the Holy Spirit, jump out and stake. Reclaim the territory for the cause of Christ. Now, we're going to stake and call the anointing of God back into churches. That's what we're going to do. That's the initiative that we have going right now. And I would like all of you, come on, man. Come on, man. Get involved here, right? Get involved. Be a leader. Get somebody to go with you. Go do it. Doesn't have to be under the unction of Coach Dave. This is a prophetic act and a prophetic unction. And I don't care what they taught you in church. The job, the duties of a prophet is not a job or simply an office in the church. It is a gift of God. The prophetic unction is speaking the oracles of God for God. Jesus said, of all those ever born unto a woman, none was greater than John the Baptist. And why was John the Baptist the greatest prophet that ever lived? Because he went and he carried the mail and delivered the mail to power. He spoke the oracles of God to power. That's the prophetic unction. Thus saith the Lord. You can all operate in that calling. I don't know why the church is mechanicalized, and I don't know why they've structured everything. Everybody's got a job and a duty and sit in this chair and sit in that chair and stand up and sit down. I don't know how that happened. And you know this right now, if you're looking at it right now. You know right now, if you go to church this Sunday, to a church that you attend regularly, you're going to know exactly the order of the service. Oh, there's going to be some praise and worship music, and there's going to take an offering, and there's going to be a sermon, and then there's going to be some. Amen? Amen? Is that how you act when you get together a group of Christians? Is that how you act? You all get together in a room, and somebody does a praise and worship, and somebody does a teaching? Or is it participatory? How many of you would come to my house just to hear me do a lecture? Sit around, listen to me lecture to you for 45 minutes. Say, okay, see you next week. See you next week. We call that church? We call that church? Come on. Man, oh man. Can I jump in here real quick? I'm sorry. Look, hey, friends. I pay a price for this anointing. I want you to know it. I said, like I told you earlier, like I said to Michelle, it'd be just so, sometimes I wish I'd just go coach a football team. Leave the world to everybody else. Huh? Yeah, I really do. So calling to the people, get involved. And those of you who've responded to me that you'd like to join, I'll get the word out to you today where we're going to go. Got to solidify some things with Glenn. And I seem like I'm mean this morning. I'm not. Like, okay, here's what I want you to do. Pull up for me, Spencer. Hey, friends. Look, I'm not calling myself a prophet. I'm telling you, the prophet speaking prophetically makes people nervous. Huh? I'm going to say it again. When you're around somebody who's going to tell you the truth, you tend to get nervous. It's coming after me next. You talking to me? You talking to me, Willis? I don't know if I'm talking to you. I'm telling the truth. And if it hurts, maybe you ought to ask yourself why.
Boom.
Boom. I got this email today. By the way, I think I'm going to do a show one day where I'm just going to do emails, just so you guys know what I deal with. Huh? I got this one. Is that the one I want? No, that's not it. I want the one that says emptiness of religion. Hey, Vinny, get ready to say amen at the end of this thing. Do I say that, Lord? Whew. Check myself. How many conferences have you been to? And it didn't change you. You went and heard all these things and all these speakers and then went home and just did the same thing. Somebody say amen, so I know I got a friend out there. Head knowledge. Never ever going out on the field and hitting somebody, never making a tackle, never blocking a punt, never picking up a fumble and running, never spiking the ball in the end zone for Jesus, just going and doing more film study. So some guy sent this to me today, and I want to read it to you. Pick up your toes. I sat in that pew years back, two conferences a few years apart, one preacher, well known. Faithful, they said. Famous, maybe. At least semi-famous. Folks came with their pins drawn like blades, hungry, lanyards, wanting. I went because I wanted to know how to preach the word, clean, expository, because that's what I was called to do. Kind of science to it. Steps and outlines and smart arches. His seminary hermeneutics handed down like law from Sinai. So he wanted to go hear this famous preacher teach him how to preach. And he gave us all of it. Structures, Greek tenses, syllogisms carved like ivory. The importance of clarity, of fidelity, of saying only what we observe in the language. And yet when it ended, I walked out politely, but quiet and unsure. I felt like I'd sat through a seminar on how to write an engaging book report or public speech. A good one. Maybe it was even a great one. That was it. It felt soulless to me. No blood on the page. Sermon was mechanical. Everyone clapped, smiled, took pictures of that famous man, had him sign his books and his Bibles. Somebody say amen. Anybody picking up on this yet other than me? Huh? Had him took pictures with him, had him sign his books and his Bibles.
Boom.
And I thought, you know, maybe it's me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just missing it. So I went home and waited for my next turn to preach. When it came, I did it exactly how they showed me to do it. Verse on verse, cross-reference, like proving a math formula, doctrine laid brick by brick, transitions clean enough. Brothers, it was dead. I got a few good comments afterwards, but I felt like I was a fake. Oh, I told the truth up there, that it wasn't me telling it. I could have let a machine write it. It might have come out better. Oh, a fine sermon, polished. It would have been a fine letter written for a Crossway email because no soul was required. Benny, give me a boom.
Boom.
And I knew then that I wanted no part of it. I don't want to teach or be taught as though God was a subject in school. Like scripture was a frog you've dissected and organized the parts to parse. Only by naming the parts can you know what a frog is. But there isn't any jump left in him. frog's dead. The flies are safe in their sterile ammonia smell. As though the cross were a thesis and not a personal rescue for me and my children. I want to preach like a man, both fully saved and wholly desperate. 1 foot in the Word and 1 foot hanging over the abyss, which Christ had pulled me. Oh, not as a scholar. No, no, no. I want to be an eyewitness survivor. A man who's not just seen a map, read some articles, did Bible studies, but a man that's been there. A man who can tell you what it's like by my own experience. Not a man that's doing it like some travel guide with a brochure you see in hotel lobbies. Anybody enjoying this other than me? Somebody boom, huh? Is this it? Is this it? How many people you come across in a day and they're a Christian and you got no evidence that they are?
Boom.
You can parse the verbs and you can trace the covenant thread and still not truly know the one who wrote it. Not in a way that really matters. You might even be saved. But you've treasured sitting at textbooks more than sitting with him. Boy, is that a boom. Pick up your toes. Like that scene in Goodwill Hunting. That bit where the boy gets told he's never really been anywhere or experienced anything, but he could write volumes then. You read about the Sistine Chapel. But you ain't never stood beneath it. You can't tell me what it smells like or how the sun feels in the gardens. Oh, you love to quote the Reformers and the Puritans, but you ain't never been moved like them. Oh, you admire their theology, but you ain't never experienced it. Boy, this is good, isn't it? Oh, you love to quote the prophets because they talk about experiences you've only pretended to understand. You quote one another because posterity surely won't. Nothing new is said worth remembering. So I don't care if you can tell me how hot the burning bush burned because you read a book on it. If you've never taken off your sandals and fallen flat on your face before the flame, felt the heat on your neck, and you missed the whole thing. You talk about the resurrection like it's a doctrinal commentary. I need to know if it happened to you. I'm going to stop right there. How often do you share your testimony? How often? Because we know this if you watch commercials. They love personal testimonies. Personal testimonies. I didn't think it could be that what happened to me. This is what happened to me. I don't care if you can tell me how hot the brown. You missed the whole thing. You talk about the resurrection like it's a doctrinal commentary. I need to know if it's happened to you. Because the world's not starving for knowledge. We got more knowledge and information than you could ever want. We got more knowledge than you could stomach in 100 lifetimes. We need men with torn cloaks, blistered feet, scars to bear witness of experienced God. We need men who've wrestled angels in the night, men who walk with a limp. The holy testimony of the ones who've known God and died and lived again. Lord, may we have men who've been there. Or don't give us anyone at all.
Boom.
That hit anybody other than me? A form of godliness denying the power thereof, full of head knowledge and no heart knowledge. Huh? Yeah. No power in the church. No power in the church. No power in the church. Church sits around as they abort babies. Church sits around as they cut off the dingers of little boys and girls. Church sits around as the president of the United States and the government lies to us. And the government tells the church, you're not welcome here. Stay out of here. We don't want to hear from y'all. Pay your tithes, though. Because I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people who are claiming to be Christ who've never had a come to Jesus life-changing moment. Or as I've heard him say, I was born a Christian. I was born to a Christian family. Like it's some type of inheritance. Something's going on. Let me show you this. I'll get you, Vinny, I promise you. Somebody said, I was on the Patriot Party News last night. Pull up number 4. See if you can. Dead celebrities, 1 and 2. Somebody said, look at this, folks. Look at these. These are celebrities who've died in 2025. Gene Hackman, Roberta Flack, Jamal Warner. I mean, I don't know all of them, but, huh? David Gergen, Mark. I don't know. So you know some of these. I don't know these people. These people have all died. These are all died. Huh? Wink Martindale. I'm just looking at names I know. Val Kilmer. Jesse the Body Ventura. Ozzy Osbourne. Dave Parker. Go to the next one. Give us another page of them. Another page of them. Famous people died. What the hell's going on, folks? The point of the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, what makes these people famous? When they stand before the King of Kings, are they going to be famous? Everybody going to know their name and want to get a picture taken with them? Hulk Hogan died yesterday. Something's going on. Somewhere along the line, let me see you, Spencer. Hey, folks, I'm going to recommend something to you. Bear with me. I'm going to open it up here in a second. I watched it yesterday. Where is it? I saw it. I thought I sent it to you. Let me get here. Spencer, I want you to put this in the chat. There it is. As I was mowing my grass yesterday, Spencer, I'm going to put this in the chat. Wait a minute. Spencer, can I do this? Jamie Walden. You guys know Jamie. As I was mowing my grass, had my headphones on. Boy, did this humble me. And maybe, hang on there with me. Maybe I can put it in the chat. I can't get my bearings here. It's long. But I suggest, there it is, it's in the chat. Power from on high for the days ahead. Humbled me, folks. It humbled me. God just sent your Facebook friend. I got more. Come on in, Vinny.
Yeah, I just want to mention very early into when you started the show, I think you had asked, why am I here? And I said to you, this is the way I believe church should be performed. I don't believe that anyone should just sit around and listen to instructions the entire time. It should be participatory. Okay. And I want to commend Craig I want to give you a big alakablamo, Craig, for setting up a calling to the people and getting people to get control of our churches once again. Our churches are completely out of control. That the fact that they have allowed all this crap that has gone on for at least the last 50 years is insane. And it just shows that our churches are not our churches. They are satanic social clubs, as Larry Richardson famously said.
Amen. Thanks. Amen. I got another one on that. Maybe I'll pull that up here in a second. Folks, look. If you walk in a prophetic unction, I'm speaking to somebody, they're going to accuse you of having a critical spirit. And you just better know that. Hey, Betty just walked in. Hi, Betty. You can come in if you want, Betty. If you walk in a prophetic unction, thus says the Lord, that's wrong. Stop doing it. They're going to call you judgmental. Say you have a critical spirit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've lived it. Amen. Amen. Betty wants to say something I can feel. Come on in, Betty. Betty doesn't live with us. She's just heading someplace. She's heading someplace. I don't know if you can slide. There she is. There she is. Hi, Betty.
Hey, how are you doing? And hello, all family out there.
We're in the middle of something. Let's see if I can get, how can I, maybe if I slide over, Betty, you come towards me.
The boom, Betty.
Boom.
Boom, Benny.
Go ahead, Craig. You got your hand up.
First, thank you, Benny. But it's his church, right? And what I love, Spencer, when I told Spencer, hey, I'm going to send you some stuff, get me a picture. You got that picture. And he's refining it. He's molding it. It's his church, right? And it carries his name. And therefore, that commandment says, don't use the Lord's name in vain. I mean, that's so powerful because I always thought, it was GD. And then someone said, no, you're his representative. And that's how people see you. And if you don't hold up to his name, like the Dobbenmeyer family name or whatever, you're going to have a discussion with him. So it's his church, Vinny. We're just doing.
So Craig, taking the Lord's name in vain means doesn't mean saying the cuss word. It means using the name of Jesus and not exhibiting the power. You call yourself a Christian and there's no fruit to it. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain, folks.
Or profiting, coach. I mean, all right, so look at Joel Osteen. I mean, hey, I don't take a salary, but, I get $40 million in book deals because I'm put in this position, right? But then I don't mind if you make $40 million, but then in the pulpit, do what Christ would say.
Amen.
And give the money back to the people, and have a nice house and send your kids to a good college.
Amen. Amen. Hey, hang on. Pull up, Spencer. The church. It's a real quick thing. The church. No, that's not it. That's a viewer letter. It's an email that says the church. No? Okay, you got to probably download it a little bit here. So go ahead, RJ, while we get it ready. Go ahead. I want to watch both of these two. Go ahead, RJ.
Yeah, something comes to mind that really needs to be mentioned here. And when you're going to look, when you're dealing with churches that are apostate or maybe, who knows? So you may not know what they're preaching there, so you better be careful. What I'm concerned about, Coach, is that there are spiritual forces, wickedness in high places that are operating in those churches. It's a religious spirit, and it's, if we go into a
form of godliness denying the power thereof.
Now, what happens if I go up someplace and I'm not clean, my heart's not right? I'm thinking of Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, and if you bring that up, what you look at, he was born again. I mean, they prayed for him, and it says he received the Holy Spirit, I believe. Go to Acts 8 and 13. Now even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. as he observed signs and great miracles. So the baptism he took may not, I don't think it was the Holy Spirit. Go to 14 and you continue to read on. You know, he asked he wants to buy the gift of that authority. And the demonic realm doesn't recognize him. And it's a backfire on him.
So Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued hanging out with Philip. And Simon wondered, watching the miracles and signs which were done. Simon's thinking, he's watching Philip. What the heck's going on? And when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is there a second baptism? What? And then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands and Holy Ghost was given him, he had offered him money. Kenneth Copeland said, okay, give me that money, and then I'll give you some power on whomsoever he may receive. Huh? You with me? Peter said to them, your money ain't no good here, boy. You can't buy. Huh? You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't buy it. Say those two things, Spencer. Hey, folks, hang on a minute. I don't know if you picked up on this. There's a prophetic unction here. A thus saith the Lord. Not a future telling. Not telling you what's going to happen. Oh, Betty, I see you having... Oh, Betty, I see great traffic out in front of you, Betty. Oh, Betty. What? That's not the same as having a word for somebody. The Lord said something to me about it. Hey, Betty, I don't know what this means, but the Lord said this, okay? Take it to the Lord, whatever it is. And we've turned the prophetic into prophet. Money. This is just some old flunky like me. This guy looks like a flunky like me. He said the church lied. You're the temple. Go ahead, Spencer.
They told you, go to church. Yahushua said, you are the church. The apostles said, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Yet here we are, millions piling into fancy buildings, tithing to a system Yahushua flipped tables in. You think he cleansed the temple just to hand you a new religion with fog machines and a sermon series? Nah. He said the temple would be destroyed. He said not one stone would be left standing. He said the kingdom would be within you. And guess what? It happened. 70 AD, Amen. Temple gone, kingdom came. But they kept building churches anyway, because you can't pass a plate in someone's heart. You can't control a man walking in spirit and truth. If you think that 501c3 social club is the house of Yahuwah, you miss the point of the whole new covenant.
Wow. Wow. Spencer, put my background in there. I hate looking green. I hate looking green behind me. Huh? Spencer, why are you doing that? Play that other video. Huh? We're the church. We're the church. We are the temple. We are the temple. I'm going to say it again real slow for Vinny. We are the temple.
Boom.
We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not that building down the road. Now, it's good that you can gather. That's all good. But if it's all the body of Christ, why are there 44,000 different denominations and churches on every corner? I'm flowing in the prophetic today. Thus say the Lord. Did you have that, Spence? Go ahead and play that thing. Well, the one you just had up there, that guy, that tattooed guy. Had to listen to this, huh? I'm on it today. I'm telling you, I'm just prophetic. Speaking the oracles of God for God. Go ahead.
We're called to feed the poor and bless the needy. But somehow, we've interpreted that as, let's build a $2 million fellowship hall with granite countertops and a fog machine for the youth room. Because nothing says Jesus loves you like LED lights and a coffee bar named Holy Grounds. Not just the mega churches. Oh no, small town churches be like, we may only have 42 members and three of them are asleep. But we got $87,000 sitting in a bank CD that we don't touch in case we need a new steeple during the rapture. Meanwhile, a single mom in the neighborhood is choosing between gas and diapers, but we can't help her because, well, she's not a tithing member. Yeah, well, Jesus fed 5,000 people with fish and bread. We can't even feed one without a membership class and a background check. You can quote scripture all day long, but if your church is hoarding money while people around you are starving, that ain't a storehouse. That's a savings account with a cross on it.
Hillary Clinton.
All right, let's lighten up here. Somebody come on.
I'd like
come
to.
On lighten up. Store's open. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on, somebody come on in here. Yell at me, something, what else? It's all just true. It's all just, hey, friends.
Coach.
Let me ask you something right now. What would happen in your town or my town if the Spirit of God fell and people began to get healed and delivered? People saw it. Transformed. You walk into a church and see a body of transformed believers. Or do you see a group of people living life just like you? Except they got a Holy Ghost stamp on it. Sanctified, set apart, on my way to heaven. It have no effect wherever we're at. Look, I'm sorry. I'm stepping on your toes. I'm stepping on my toes, okay? I'm stepping on my toes. Come on in, RJ. Betty's on the way to see Lorraine today, by the way. Go ahead, RJ.
You know,
tell us your story, not your life story. Tell us a story, not your life story. Go ahead.
Yeah. In the book of Acts, there's another character. I think it was Simon, the seven sons of Sceva. That was it. They go out to cast out the demonic, and it comes back on them because they weren't righteous. And that's what my concern is, that we're confronting spirits in high places, and we need to go take communion, be serious, and understand there can't be sin in your life. You're going to go deal with higher level, the dark forces of a church that's apostate.
Amen. Because why? Because Jesus himself hates religion. Friends, when Jesus was on earth, when he got out of his whip, and when he started to raise Cain, pardon the phrase, did he go to the state house? Did he go to the mayor's office? Did he go to the school board meeting? Not that we shouldn't, but where did he go? Where did he go flip tables? Said, this is a den of thieves. This church here is a den of thieves, man. You're all in here for what you can get out of it. Every one of you in here. When's the last time you went to church and somebody got up and spoke about your Christian duty to Christ to rescue the unborn children, to rescue the women and orphans in their time of need? When's the last time you had a sermon on that? Well, there aren't many people hearing that sermon because you ain't going to go there because that is convicting and we don't want to be convicted. We want to be blessed. Vinny, you don't have to say amen. I just know I'm nailing it. All right? I just know that I am.
Boom.
People love to talk about how wonderful their church is. Really? Really? What makes it so wonderful? Oh, the music is so good. Pastor preaches such good sermons. Really? You guys got any victories over the devil? Anything changed in your community because your church is there? No? Lauren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
the definition, I mean, everybody is always like, you got to come to my church, right? You got to come to my church. No, it's not the brick and mortar building. They don't have any life. It's just a brick and mortar building with an electric bill, a gas bill, a water bill, an air conditioner, maybe, you know, I mean, what's going on in the queue, right? And in the huddle, what you've got going on in the huddle and what you as a coach in this and God's football team that you're leading. That's the church, because we go out into our families and where we're at.
And going into all the world, not coming right. into our church, going into all the world.
And it's like, well, hey, invite somebody to come to your church. No, because like you said, they want you to come and give them money. So you have to pay them to get taught a false gospel, to watch their programs, to agree with their doctrine, and, you know, MK Ultra'd through their version of what the scripture is. And then most people leave with trauma because you can't be a little messed up when you're there. And the second that you say that you are, they, you know, they become the Sadducees and the Pharisees because you're too screwed up and now you can't do anything. And we have a culture of single moms that's reflected in the church, but hey, we're not going to talk about that. And hey, we're not going to talk about abortion. And hey, we're not going to talk about Second Amendment rights. We're not going to say anything about protecting you because we're not going to.
We're the sugar of the earth and not the salt of the earth. Come on in, Jeff Klein. Sugar of the earth. We're the sugar of the earth. Make everybody feel good, happy, slappy. Sugar of the earth. Come on into our church. It's sweet, sugary here. Huh? Best life now. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, Coach, I had a conversation to chat with the girl next door there at Speedway yesterday. So I took her over a little book of the Gospel of John. She's in the back room counting the potato chips and candy bars. And I told him, I said, have her come out here. She did. So we got chatting and she says, oh, and she's gonna go this Sunday, which it's not going to be a typical take her to church and just start throw some money in the plate and see you later, honey. She looked at me and she said, JC, you probably aren't going to like my religion. Now, she's the one that six different medications over years, and she tried to overdose on her medicine to keep her calm. So, and she admitted all this to me. She's open about it. She's the one I've had prayer with a couple times. She looked at me and I said, what religion are you? I'm Green Wiccan. I said, what? I said, that ain't going to do you no good. She said, well, they love the trees and the plants. I said, I love the trees and the plants, but I'm not a Wiccan. So I talked to her about Jesus and what she needs. And I said, listen, what we'll do is I'm going to get you hooked up with a few women that can help you. I said, I can as a man, but I said, I can lead you to the women with somebody that's going to be able to come alongside you. So she was just about ready to cry. She's like, all right, I'm coming. So I'm going to introduce her to Mary Jane, a couple of the women that I know that can help her and help this young lady. She's single mom, divorced, got kids. Life's a wreck. So
yeah, church ain't got no time for it.
Right.
Thanks, Jeff. Hey, listen, folks, I'm getting texts all the time, about all the time. I didn't realize that. We are going to stake churches tomorrow. Now, I just put my email in the chat. Or folks, if you don't have the chat, write this down. Okay. Write down my email, PTSalt, like pass the salt, PTSalt.com. No, PTSalt@gmail.com. PTSalt@gmail.com. Because I'm getting people who are saying, I'd like to go, I'd like to be part of it, but I don't have any way to connect with them. So, email me, Coach, I'd like to go, PTSalt. Spencer, not everybody has the chat. Not everybody does. PTSalt@gmail.com. And I'll include you, okay? PTSalt@gmail.com. Cool. Good in there. Love for you to come. Come on, man. Let's get going. Who have I forgotten? Let's see. Who hadn't been in here yet? Craig hadn't been in. Randy hadn't been in. Go ahead, Craig.
Just real quick, RJ's right. Go in a humble spirit. Bring some communion. So have communion there. Worship the Lord. That's why I put those two songs in. You don't have to use those two songs, but they're great songs, okay? Coach, when we first came to Sky High and you invited everybody, do you remember that? We were in that big room?
Yep.
And what did you just stop? And he said, heck, you know how you get your voice all going. Hey, what'd you say? I feel.
I said that spirit hadn't been here in years.
Amen. Amen. You're bringing the spirit and worship. Worship the Lord.
We were in this, we're in the room at Sky High, and it was just a, kind of the fellowship and everything that's going on, and I stopped everybody because the Holy Spirit said to me, the spirit hasn't been here in years. Think about the, think about our cities. The folks, the spirit hasn't been in our churches in years. Go ahead, Greg.
And so you're in, your feet are anointed with this action, and you're inviting the Holy Spirit in here. And don't worry about what they did wrong or what they're not doing it. The Lord knows it 10 times better than what you do. Amen. And he's 100 times better to convict them than you do.
Amen.
You're,
Amen.
You're just there Amen. To be that agent to get the little fire that started. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was a fireman. Yeah, most fires don't start with explosions. It's a little fire in a corner that you can put out with your fingernail.
Amen. 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 Be the salt of the earth, folks. Be the salt. Pour the salt in the wound. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good. Randy.
Coach, what I've learned doing this is you have a plan, and that's great. But when you be prepared to be spontaneous, be open to the Holy Spirit, because he's going to show you things. He's going to show certain ones that come. And look, this is more than just going and holding signs. Okay. We're past that. We're good. That's a good thing. That is a good, there is a place for that. But when we go with a mission like this, when you're going to go to the churches, you're going to stake them. Go open, go with a plan, but go open. And I'm telling you that the people you may meet, the things that will happen will be on them in the moment. And if you are, like Craig said, you're not there to condemn anybody. No. We're there to take the kingdom of God and to take back the ground it's sitting on, because it's God's ground. This is God's earth, Coach. I don't care how long they've been sitting there and it's their stronghold, but when he told them to go into the land, he said, look, I've already whipped them. If you'll just come with me and participate, you can have the ground. I'm going to give it to you. And that's how we have to see this, Coach. We have to see this. This is God's campaign. We're just participating and believing him enough to believe him to go do it. And I'm going to say this, Coach. God gave me this phrase, and I think I'm going to give it to you right now. And it's this. Obedience is the legs of faith. Obedience is the legs of faith. So when we do these things, Coach, we're not doing them just in just throwing up a leaf in the wind like, oh, which way is it going to go? No, we're going with purpose. God has said go. We're going. That's obedience. Now let's see what he does and believe anything that's huge that he does, or even if you don't see anything that like, well, nothing happened. Yes, it did. You just displaced darkness whether you know it or not.
All right, folks, so here it is. I just pulled it up, and you can check me. I only got a minute left, Randy. Didn't mean to cut you off. I did. I meant to cut you off. Sorry. Ichabod. Ichabod. You know what Ichabod is? I just Googled it. I mean, I knew what it was, but I Googled it. I'm going to read it to you, and you can Google it right where you are. The name Ichabod is of Hebrew origin, and it primarily means no glory. The glory has departed. Ichabod's written over the doorpost of many of those dead churches we're going to visit tomorrow. It is famously associated with the biblical figure, the son of Phinehas, whose birth was marked by the capture of the Ark of the Covenant by the Philistines. The name Ichabod is also used to express regret for departed glory or a sense of defeat. You tell me, friends, that there's not a sense of defeat in the American church? Oh, I get it. Oh, Coach, our hope is beyond this world. Really? Huh? And sell everything you have. If you, it ain't about this life. No. It's about the next one. And sell everything you have. Do everything you can. Get rid of everything you can. Go give every bit of it to the poor if it's not about this life. Ichabod. The spirit has departed the American church. And we're going to take that on starting tomorrow. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.